Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. The regular Florentine opera season may be over, but you can still get your opera fix over the next couple of days in Milwaukee. Tomorrow and Saturday at the Florentine's River West Center, the company will present a workshop performance of a new opera still in the works. Sister Carrie is based on Theodore Dreiser's novel of the same name, in which a rural Wisconsin girl moves to the big city at the turn of the last century. The composer, Robert Aldridge, was also the composer of the Florentine's recent production of Elmer Gantry. He, along with soprano Adriana Zabala and director David Walsh, joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio, and Aldridge says the story is so perfect for opera, it is amazing that it has not already been done.
Apparently some people had thought about it, but no one has actually done it. And we were similarly surprised with Elmer Gantry that no one had done that as an opera. And so it's our good fortune that that no one had. So we took the idea to Bill Florescu, head of Florentine Opera, who has, and David Walsh at University of Minnesota. So it's sort of a co-production between the two.
I know the Florentine has really championed new opera and new work under Bill. And David, is that something you're particularly interested in as well?
It absolutely is. And I wanted it to be one of the primary accomplishments, I think, of whatever time I have at the university, that we would introduce new opera and in particular new American opera. And in that respect, I was very grateful when in 2010 I was casting about for a new American opera to do, or a recent American opera to do, and my colleague Adriana Zabala, who had just joined the faculty, recommended the Elmer Gantry piece. And it was through that experience we went on to do a production of it. We invited Bob and Herschel out to see it. And so now they have become collaborators in a number of new projects.
And Adriana, how had you gotten to know Elmer Gantry?
Well, I was living in New York, and through friends and colleagues got to know Herschel Garfein, the librettist for Sister Carrie and for Elmer Gantry, through a series of projects and workshops and recording new music for projects. And it was through Herschel that I met Bob and actually participated in some workshops for Elmer Gantry. Then many, many years later, you know, was starting at the faculty at University of Minnesota, and all of that happened wonderfully, naturally, just among colleagues and friends, and it's thrilling. I almost forget sometimes all the little details of how such fruitful things have come about through these relationships.
So, Bob, how long has this one been gestating?
This has been 3 or 4 years. We have been working on it off and on. Herschel is a composer also, so he does his own projects. I write instrumental pieces in addition to this, or sometimes songs, and this is my second opera and our second opera together. We did a workshop of it about 4 years ago, just of two pieces at the University of Colorado. Then about 2 years ago, we did about 70 minutes of it at University of Minnesota with David directing the opera theater singers there. And then now this will be the
full.
No, it's not. It's going to be about
100
minutes,
okay.
Maybe?
Yeah, close to 100, I think.
So
yeah.
Still not quite full. Okay.
Not,
still working.
It's going to be about 2.5 hours, a little less. We seem to write our operas in the same proportion, same size orchestra, same length, you know, as our first opera. We kind of – something about that size of the grand spectacle.
Well, to get everything in on Sister Carrie, too,
yeah.
I mean, because, again, as we were saying, it's just that huge sweep, and
yeah.
it's so operatic and so dramatic. There's just so much that's going on, and the relationships are so fraught.
The relationships and the portrait of the time and the place, the unusual time in the country's history, and it features that transformation, the inevitable transformation of society and culture from rural to urban, and how fraught and difficult that was, especially as very few people were making lots and lots of money, and many, many more people, juxtaposed to them physically in urban environments, were suffering. And our story is in the heart of that context.
It is so quintessentially American,
yes.
The telling of it. I mean, this kind of story happened across the world. Any society that went from that rural to urban, you know, or manufacturing and that sort of thing. But this is so American.
It is. I think that it's the first sort of great urban social novel, and I think Dreiser was very influenced by Balzac in that way and tried to do an American version of that kind of – that big sweeping novel in an urban landscape and poverty and riches and love and lust and betrayal and lots of big – serious things, but in an American – in a very American way. And that's one of the things that is really important to Herschel. American composers for too long a time looked to Europe too much to define what opera was. It's only been recently that we've developed our own identity fully in terms of what an American opera is. I mean, it was done early, let's say, Porgy and Bess, but that was the exception rather than the rule, or something like Susanna. But there have only been a few that have really been truly American. And I think the first thing is you have to look for a story that is an American story and then build from there and be honest to telling that story.
David, when you're shepherding something like this, what are you trying to do in the workshops? I mean, obviously you want to get it out there. You want people to hear it. What are you looking for as a director in ways of making the piece grow into the full production eventually?
Well, it's a challenging question. I mean, it's fabulous, of course, to have an opportunity to input on a work that's in progress as opposed to dealing with something that's complete. And when we did the workshop previously that Bob was referring to 2 years ago, we were testing out some of these scenes. And in fact, Bob wrote in the week that he came, or he was there for 3 weeks, but in the last week before our presentation, he actually wrote one of the scenes because we really felt it was important we see how this fitted into the overall structure. So, of course, you have to be quick and you have to be instinctive. But I have to say this, from the get-go, the thing that grabbed me about Elmer Gantry is the same thing that has grabbed me with all of Bob's work, is that it's innately theatrical. And it actually makes work for the director fun and, in a certain respect, easy. Not really easy, but easy in the sense that you don't have to invest it with the theatricality. It's already there. But one of the things also I think that's important about this piece, it does, of course, have this huge social commentary aspect to it. But it also is a tremendous psychological drama. And that, again, is an area where I think the Herschel-Bob combination is fantastic. They show, as Dreiser did in his novel, how people act impulsively, instinctively, and often completely wrongly in crisis situations in life. It's just extraordinary. And that has happened since time began and continues to happen. So along with the portrait, they've distilled the essence of the social aspects of the time period, but also these intense psychological portraits and relationships are what are exciting to work with, I think, frankly, as artists and as certainly as a director.
And as an audience member too, because that's what you're going to connect to.
We're looking for that resonance,
the
human nature and the things that don't change, especially when they're seen as false.
Yeah, and
that's
especially
compelling, I think.
Sorry, Adriana.
No, please.
I want to mention something that Bill Florescu mentioned yesterday, which is the parallel between, for example, in the story, what was happening to veterans of the Civil War 30 or 40 years after the fact that they were homeless and on the street and not being looked after, and what's been happening to, in a certain respect, our own Vietnam vets who are often suffering. And I even saw billboards on my drive in here talking about the situation that veterans often face today. So these issues are not just part of folklore and history. They're real.
Oh, and they're real and they're contemporary.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Adriana, for you as a singer, bringing this to life in this workshop situation, knowing that things are being worked on, that must be fun.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's energizing, and it's also a constant process of discovery, which is really exhilarating. You can go in with ideas, and the beauty of working with people whom you respect, adore, and trust as artists and as people is that you go in and you bring what you have, and you also simultaneously have to be completely open. And the magic is really how it evolves with how everyone feels and what people choose to say. And if Bob says this might should be different, or if Danny Belcher, who's singing Hurstwood, which is the male lead, just this morning we kind of made some interesting progress on a scene that essentially at one point, probably this afternoon, we'll have to sort of, in a sense, ask Bob's permission to go in a direction that maybe different than what the music says. We found something fascinating by trying it, discussing it, seeing what Bob's giving us on the page, looking at the text, and just trying something a little bit new. We call it Thelma and Louise-ing it, holding hands and just jumping off the cliff. So we'll see. And who knows? Maybe Bob will say, interesting, but no way. But it might be that it works in some unexpected way.
Is that fun for you, Bob,
yes.
when that
oh,
happens?
Yeah. I'm definitely one of those. I think some composers may want things just as they wrote them, and there's good reason for that. You put a lot into your work, and you want it the way that – but I'm always interested in having input from the performers and making it more of a symbiotic relationship, because you can learn so much, and I'm continually making changes in my work based on what I hear. So I'm like one of those painters who's painting – right before the opening of their show. I'm in there after the show is already hung, touching up things, because I never think anything is done. So the relationship with performers to creators of having input from them is hugely important, I think, both Herschel and myself.
I want to ask all of you and just chime in how you feel about the state of opera today in the country and in the world. There still seems to be a core audience, people who are opera fanatics, people who like it, might go once or twice a year. And then there are people who think, I would never go to an opera. How does working on something like this help bring in new audiences?
Well, I mean, a question that I'm asked not infrequently, which is your opera in English? You know, people still think that opera is – you know, in Italian or other languages. And so there's a lot of, misapprehension of what, English opera or American opera is. And, you know, our goal is really to I want to put on stage things that are anyone, whatever operatic background they have or not, I want that to be accessible to all kinds of audiences. And one of the things that I was really pleased with Elmer Gantry was there were people that saw it that had never seen an opera before and said, hey, I loved it. And hopefully they'll go back to see other operas now. But I think it's important to both Herschel and I that we write something that's accessible to everyone, opera lovers, to people who have the misapprehensions and think all opera was written in other languages.
And part of the beauty of workshops that are open to the public, I think, is also just the idea that someone can come and feel an investment just by being there, just by seeing that it's normal people who are performing and learning and making mistakes in front of them or growing and changing things in the piece as it happens. I think that just the idea that it's a process like any other project, I think, is interesting to our contemporary culture. The idea of transparency and process, especially for young people, they're so omnivorous in their consumption of art and of culture and of pop art and of information that this may be one of the upsides to taking an advantage of how that's becoming hardwired, as it were, for them, that they feel more that they have a right to process than people may have in the past. The idea before might have been, well, I should be informed, I should be cultured, and then I bring something to my opera going. Now I think it's more come as you are. And I think we are a more come as you are culture, for better or for worse. And one way to speak to that is inviting people in to process. I hope that can go a long way. This is a great example of that, in that not only it's an opera in English, here we have composer and librettist present. It's a story with the Midwest at its heart, the Midwest and its relationship to the East Coast, as it also relates to rural to urban and post-Civil War. There are so many things that people, especially in this community, have in their DNA that resonates with this story, things that they already have that just relate. Everyone has a right to be there. no one should feel that they have to pass go to enjoy these processes.
And David?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely correct. And, you know, opera does have this somewhat exotic, bizarre reputation. And I can understand it in certain ways, why people would be at first glance put off by it. But I've never met a person who has come to an opera for the first time and seen a powerful performance who's not been moved by it. But I think what Adriana is talking about is making people part of the process and also doing opera, which can connect to people's own experiences of life, is tremendously important. So for me, the development of new opera in this country is crucial to that. I think the more we can do that and more that people can see what the basis of opera is, then they can transfer that, of course, to the other repertoire in due course. But it's crucial to me that American opera thrive in order for the long-term health of the, I'll say, industry or the art form.
Well, to kind of put it back into Milwaukee in the Midwest, you're getting to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, good way to put it.
Well, here. I am looking forward to it very, very much. I want to thank all three of you for stopping in out of rehearsal and then coming to tell us about it.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
The Florentine's Workshop production of the opera In Progress, Sister Carrie, takes place Friday and Saturday evenings at the Florentine Opera Center on East Burleigh Street in River West. David Walsh is the director, Robert Aldridge the composer, and Adriana Zabala the soprano who plays the lead character, and they all spoke with Bonnie North. That's Thursday's Lake Effect. Tomorrow on the show, highlights from this week's Project Milwaukee Forum, recorded at the Milwaukee Public Library, all about breaking the cycle of black male incarceration. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I do hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. We're your NPR station in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock.
I brought it for the end.